I was told this morning really needed to be more of a musical, so turn in your Bibles. I'm just kidding. All right. I was not allowed to have a solo or actually even be part of the choir in general, so I don't know what that means, but my hair's not long enough. That's a true story. That's a true story. Listen, White Rock, we just had a quaint morning, so if we could get kind of pull it back together here. Sheesh. This is why we can't have nice things, church. This is why we can't have nice things. I love this church. Hey, Christmas is an awesome time filled with so much pageantry and beauty. And sometimes it's nice just to chill. You ladies have done an amazing job of bringing just some beauty this morning to our time together at this Christmas season. And it's really a beautiful thing. I don't know if you guys are like me. Christmas carols are always a little tricky. Like, I love singing Christmas carols. It's always weird, like, the season in church, you know, like in July, we don't usually sing joy to the world, you know, that kind of stuff. We could, I suppose, but we don't. And so we got to kind of squeeze it all in, like in this 3-week window right after Thanksgiving, you know, at church. So we sing every carol we can imagine. And sometimes we forget that there are theological statements of truth about a reality that happened. And I mean, the incredible gift that Jesus is. Like, there's so much real power in what we sing, and yet at the same time, they can feel a little weird. Sometimes I get it, you know, like sometimes you're like, away in a manger. You don't have enough coffee to start with, and then you're singing a lullaby when you get to church, and I get that feeling, you know. And then, as Tim Hawkins points out, there's that awkward song of, do you hear what I hear? You know, do you hear what I hear? A child shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold. And Tim Hawkins points out, like, get the kid a blanket, right? It's a great call. Let's throw some cold change on the baby Jesus, you know? And he's like, shivering baby. Like, some of these, they're a little weird. I get that, a little weird, right? But there's incredible power in Christmas and in the carols that we sing. So this morning, I want to just say a couple things about some carols real quickly, and then I'll sit back down. The ladies have a closing song they're going to do, and we'll get you out of here still in a festive Christmas mood. Not bored. Good. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, what a picture. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. We sing it, and it's beautiful, and it's pretty, and it's cute, and it's about that little tiny Bethlehem, and a little tiny manger, and a baby. You know, like, it's cute, and it's great. But it's a picture of the depravity and the desperation and the darkness of humanity apart from the saving power of this little baby who comes to bring life. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. Oh, tiny little significant town of Bethlehem. How still we see thee lie. How uneventful. How insignificant. How middle of nowhere. Nothing's happening. Nothing matters. You're not even on the map, Bethlehem. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep. Dreamless, what a picture. We could talk about cognitive synapse gaps firing or whatever that is in your brain, right? Synapsis gaps. But at the end of the day, we associate dreams with hope, with life and vision and purpose. Bethlehem lay in the still, quiet, insignificant darkness, void of dreams, dreamless sleep. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silence of God, the silence of hope, the silent stars go by. But like every good Christmas carol, there's a chorus, right? Yet, in thy dark street shineth the everlasting life and light. The hopes, the fears of all the years, all the hopes, all the dreams, all the longing, all the struggle and desperation and distance from God because of sin, all of it culminates in thee tonight with this little baby Jesus who comes. It's not an insignificant song, Little Town of Bethlehem. But we just sang my favorite, right? And Robin and I are going to try something. Robin's going to play this song while I preach to this song. Ready? Here we go. I just want to see what you're going to do, to be honest, because I figure it's going to be something like the 12 Days of Christmas that you're going to play. Or, okay, little bald drummer boy, something like that. But my favorite Christmas carol, my favorite is O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. It is. It really is. And here's why. Because anybody ever go caroling here? Any carolers ever in your life, right? You know what it's like, right? You're a caroler. Seth, right now, don't leave and go caroling. Oh, okay, sorry, I thought you thought that was instructions, my bad. So you know what it's like. You're walking through that nursing home with your church group like we do sometimes, right? And you're like me, you have this special range known as baramess, not baritone, right? And you're not sure. And you're singing things like, oh, wait a minute. And you get to, so oh, you know, and you're just cutting out and smiling at the older folks and waving, you know, and they're like, please stop singing, sir, thank you. You know, like you have those moments. But then you get to like, oh, come, Emmanuel. Finally, something in our range, right? It's not why I like the song. Also like why We Three Kings, that's pretty solid too, right? You just grind that one, you know, We Three Kings of all, you know, like it's an angry Christmas carol, right? As guys, we need some stuff like that, right? But I love this song, O Come, Emmanuel, because it is the gospel, clear and plain, simple and powerful in one simple verse. O Come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, who lies in, who mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel has come to you, O Israel. What a picture. Oh, come. It's an invitation, isn't it? Come. Come. And it's interesting, it's not addressed to you. Oh, come, all ye faithful. Oh, come to Bethlehem. No, this is, oh, come. Please come, Emmanuel. The word Emmanuel is translated to be God with us. You know, there's a lot of religions in the world, and they're all trying really hard to get you to be good enough to get to God. Good enough to attain some status where you're acceptable to some God thing. Christianity is about the perfect Savior, the perfect God, who didn't say, come to me. He came to us. He stepped down into our world and into our space and into our depravity and sin. He came, God with us, not us reaching to God, God reaching down to us. There's nowhere else like it, nowhere. There's no other religious system that people believe in that has that picture. All of it is straining to him. But man, Jesus, he strains to you. He loves you. Oh, come, Emmanuel, God with us. And ransom. What a powerful picture that word is. Ransom. We kind of attribute that to kidnapping or held hostage in some ransom note that might appear demanding a payment for our release. That's pretty much the picture. Because of sin, generational sin born into the human race and the consequences of that, heck yeah, we're there. But also personal sin. Every one of us have lied, maybe dishonored a father or mother or two, coveted something. Every one of us is guilty of at least breaking one time one of God's commandments. And in so doing, we lay guilty before a holy God of sin. Trapped, the Bible says, captive, enslaved to sin. But this God with us, Emmanuel, comes with a ransom payment for us. And Scripture teaches us that the blood of Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, all those Old Testament stories of lambs and sacrifices and blood and what is going on and if the PETA people find out, right? All this stuff, it's a picture of the one true Lamb of God who comes as the sacrifice but more so as the payment for our sin. And Jesus comes and he dies on the cross and he pays the ransom to set us free from captivity of eternal death. Oh come, Emmanuel, God with us, and ransom captive Israel. And don't make the mistake of assuming that Israel is all Jesus came to rescue. It's just symbolic of all humanity. For all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us facing the wages of sin is death, eternal consequences of sin. And yet the free gift of God, the free gift of the payment of our ransom made through Jesus. And ransom captive Israel, who mourns in lonely exile here. It's a picture of the garden where man first rebelled. Adam and Eve sin and rebel against God, and they're exiled from the presence of God, left only to wander and mourn what was lost. Oh, come. Come to us, God with us, and ransom our captive reality as we face eternal death and sin. Ransom captive Israel, who mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appears in a dark little town in Bethlehem, void of dreams, starless, quiet, dark, enters the light of the world to pay the price for us, until the Son of God appears. And when he appears, we got a chorus. Rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel, God with us, has come. Paul says, rejoice. I will say it again, rejoice. Our joy ought to be redundant as Christians, right? We ought to think in duplicity when it affects our joy, because what Jesus has done, we ought to have a double portion of hope and dream and life and purpose and meaning to how we live and who we are and what we experience. Rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel, God with us, has come to us. Not us to him, but has come to us. Oh, Israel, people that I love. And scripture might tell you that you've been grafted into Israel, that you've been grafted into the chosen people through Christ. And so even if you have a hard time making the connection to the whole world, you are the Israel of God, scripture would say, for those who are in Christ. And Emmanuel has come. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. And that's worth singing and celebrating with joy and lights and festivities and hope, because Emmanuel has come. This Christmas season, you'll probably hear some carols. And maybe you'll be sitting around a table with friends or family who don't totally get the story or care. And that's when you can use your Bluetooth device of eternal purpose and maybe hit play on a song like, O Come, Emmanuel. And then in those moments, you could say, do you know what the song's even about? I mean, the sad part is most people sing it in like a death dirge, you know, like, right? Like it's just sadness. But if you hear it, it's really groaning for a world that is hopeless and lost, crying out for the Savior to come. And oh, he does. And that's a message you can share at your Christmas table and around a tree, or walking around looking at lights at the zoo. Seize the opportunity. Songs people are already singing and familiar with tell the gospel message that Jesus came. And this morning, if you don't know him, I want to encourage you that he loves you and he sings over you, scripture says. Much better than anything you hear this morning. but he sings over you. He loves you. And all you have to do is reach out to him. Not up, just out, because he's present already. You don't have to climb to heaven. You just have to open up your hands and ask. He says, I stand at the door and I knock. And if anyone opens the door, I'll come in. And this morning, Jesus knocks on our hearts to say, I love you. Got any room for me in there? And all we have to do is open the door. And our Christmas can look a whole lot different. Not just now, for all eternity. Father, thank you for your incredible love for us, that you would send your one and only Son to come and to pay the ransom that we could not pay. Not enough good deeds, not enough great efforts, nothing. Nothing that we could do to buy our freedom from captivity. And yet Christmas is all about you coming to make a payment for us. And Lord, this morning, for those who are hearing or online who don't know you, they know of Christmas and they know of this Jesus, but they don't know you. And there's no door that's been opened in their hearts to you. I pray right now in this moment that they would just open up their hands, symbolic of opening up their heart. And the Lord, they would invite you in. Dirt and messes and all of it, just as we are, coming to you. And I pray that you would enter and take up residence in those hearts and transform from darkness to light, from exile to family reunion with our Heavenly Father who loves us. And Lord, for those who know that relationship, I pray that today our hearts would be warmed, encouraged. Maybe we would do a little remodeling to make a little more space, a little more room for the Savior. And that, Lord, we wouldn't just hold that light, but instead that we would shine, that the whole world would see the real star of Bethlehem, who gives light to the world. We love you, and we thank you for this Christmas and your love for us. In the name of Jesus.